Hi, this is Tony at Cover Magazine. This is my second interview with PET.UMA, PUMA, Cameron Clark, Chanel Fisher, and Mitchell Cousins. Thank you guys very much for taking time again to talk to me.
Thanks, Tony.
We're going to look a little bit more into the environment of pet insurance. Now, until recently, I mean, when I had the discussion with Elliot about P.UMA, I didn't delve much into pet insurance, etc. But once I started looking into it, it's actually a fascinating environment. So I think maybe, first of all, you can tell us a little bit about the history of pet insurance and how it has evolved over the years that you guys have been in business.
So when PUMA first was established, I think there was only two established players in the market at the time. One of them was a broker we had become UMA for, which is Medipet, and the other broker was the Hollard Plan.
Yeah.
And the Hollard Plan picture was around for 20 odd years. Medipet was around for about 7. And the market was small. I believe Petro at the time had 20,000 pets. Medipet was sitting at around 8,000. And one plan just launched. And since then, and everyone only had one insurance product. There was just one plan you could purchase. And then we established our accident-only plan because we saw there wasn't good market penetration based on just having one option available. We then did some market research and we launched our accident-only cover. And of course, within months, everyone else was copying that cover. And that accident plan, now when you look in the market, that accident plan we developed is the same accident plan everyone's selling. It's the same wording we put out there. The pricing is similar. So I think we've, as PUMA, it's like, you know, when people copy you, that's a very good compliment. So the market has changed significantly. Now we're also seeing people doing bolt-on covers, bolt-on into your household cover. We see
in the bag
covers, you buy a bag of dog food, it's on there. And that just speaks to the fact that the suppliers providing the product understand that the needs in the market is vast. And the products are now being customized to suit those needs, but there's still a lot of work to be done in order to actually get a product that suits every consumer and every pet type's need, because a dog is not a dog, a cat is just not another cat. They go through different stages in their lives, and those different stages attract, there's different risk associated with those stages. So you can't just have a vanilla product. It's just not going to help the consumer.
Yes. I mean, we know that, you know, just from experience as a pet owner and friends with pets, etc., is you've got pets that are known for certain problems, you know, like Alsatians, I think, have hip problems, and these Dachshunds have back problems. And I know I had pugs, and pugs have breathing problems, etc. So how do you design a product that can actually work for the different, you know, the challenges? One might be a high-risk pet, you know?
Yeah, so I think it comes down to our underwriting processes again. Just, you know, being a UMA, this is not a side product or additional product for us. This is our bread and butter, and this is what we've done and the reason we were established. And I think one of the things that we see in the market is guys try to apply blanket rules to different breed types. And I say that's quite unfair, because every pet is an individual, right? So to go out and exclude all Dachshunds because of back injuries, we know that's a common one. And we don't see that as being fair, number one, to the consumer, and number two, to the pet. So we rely quite heavily on upfront underwriting, and we believe every pet should be rated individually. And if there are any exclusions or waiting periods placed at policy level, it should be done based off that specific pet's medical history, as opposed to just penalizing someone for their choice of pet. And that just means strong underwriting processes.
In the previous interview, you mentioned a case of a hip replacement of 110,000 Rand or something. What does a pet insurance cover? And do you have a list that you tick? You want this cover, you want that cover? How does it actually work?
So in the Puma space, consumers actually find it quite confusing, because if you look at some of our competitors, they, number one, they'll have an annual limit, which they'll display what that limit is. And if there's anything I can educate your viewers on today, it's really researching sub-limits. Mm-hmm. And these are condition-specific limits or claims-specific limits. So for a consultation, they'll pay X. For an MRI, they'll pay Y. You know, in terms of how we underwrite our products and process our claims, it's individual case management, much like you would see in the medical aid space. It's taking a look at what the appropriate cost should be for that specific treatment, and then liaising with the customer and getting it to a point where we believe it's a fair rate that's being charged, and we process the claim from there.
Yeah, and if I can add to that, that's where a broker actually, when the product is sold through a broker, that conversation can be facilitated with a customer at that point, because when a consumer is left to their own devices, they will buy the cheapest cover and expect they're going to get the most out of it. And we have seen in spaces where clients don't interact with their brokers, they come very short at the time when there's a major surgery and they discover they've purchased the wrong product. We see often customers who have bought from a direct channel elsewhere try and join us later after their claims have been repudiated. In our space, we enable our brokers to actually have that conversation with the client in terms of giving them the right advice based on the breed of the pet, the age of the pet, and what the customer can afford. In terms of, and we also give our customers various options on excesses. So we try and make that comprehensive product cheaper for the customer who's there, who's not wanting, who's not concerned about frequency of claim, but severity of claim. And then we allow that customer to purchase at a higher excess, premium is lower, and that customer then can enjoy peace of mind knowing that they have unlimited cover at the lowest rate in the market at the moment, actually.
Yeah. So now when it comes to the broker, I mean, you've mentioned quite a few points where the broker actually should be playing a role. Now, when it comes to the broker and his business, and we spoke a little bit about, you know, pet insurance probably being undersold in the market and people not really understanding. But when it comes to the broker, is it viable for a broker to make this an important part of his business? And if so, how would a broker go about incorporating pet insurance into his business or her business?
Well, if I can just start with that one, any broker selling pet insurance or having the option to sell pet insurance should really look at doing it through an intermediary channel or a UMA channel where we are supporting them. The problem that we've seen in the industry is that the direct channel, it's not only just in pet insurance, but value-added products in general sold directly enable the direct insurer to have access to that client where they're able to leverage all that information and upsell all the other products, essentially taking that business away from the intermediary channel. That's an inherent problem in the intermediary space. I think because pet insurance is such a heartfelt purchase, I really think that the brokers should add it on to the discussions that they're having with their clients. That will be the best way to sell it. And when they're talking to them about their content and their home insurance, they talk to them about the fact that, you know, if you've got dogs and whatever, you've got animals that are part of your family, let us help cover them as well. And then that keeps everything within the broker's stable.
And then just to your question as well, in terms of selling pet insurance, they're welcome to visit our website, www.pumainsurance.co.za. And they'll probably be put in touch with Mitchell, and we can facilitate the onboarding. And just the last leg of your question was, is it sustainable for a broker to sell this type of product? Well, our largest clients, and we're very proud to represent Medipet, is that that's all they do. They don't sell any other products. It's purely focused on pet. which I think is a critical aspect to their sales cycle, because that's their everyday bread and butter, and they really do care about their customers at the end of the day. And you see that through their service offering and the feedback they receive.
Absolutely. Now, in terms of the market itself and increasing, growing the market, but in a healthy way, as you now said, for clients to know what the difference are between buying a vanilla product out of a can or buying out of a bag, as you said, or buying a properly advised product through an intermediary. What role does the broker and underwriter currently play, and what should be done to maybe increase public knowledge in this space?
Yeah, I think Mitch can comment on this one, but I think that's the whole, you know, value proposition of having an intermediary. They have the ability to compare different products. So as a customer, if you're going to go speak to a direct role player, they're going to want to sell their product, and that's, you know, understandably, the sales, generally the call center agent's going to want to close that sale as quickly as possible. Whereas when you're engaging with a broker, they're licensed to offer advice. As a UMA, that's the one function we cannot do. And at that point, customers should take advantage of that skill set. They should approach brokers which are knowledgeable in pet insurance. If they are shopping around for a few products, have a technical person sit down and say, what does this mean to me at a real life on the ground level? What is the difference between this product, which costs 89 Rand, which I like because it's cheaper, versus if I spend an extra 100 Rand a month, what is that level of cover, and what is the real life scenarios in which me and my pet will benefit out of this? Yeah. And I think our biggest drive on pet insurance is education. And it's really around understanding what sublimits are and understanding what an annual limit is and understanding how quickly you can hit those limits and how expensive vet bills have become. Because I think that's probably one of the biggest salient points as to why pet insurance is featuring more and more. Your cost of vet treatment, you know, throughout the world, not just here in South Africa, has increased. And it's quite easy to have a 30,000 Rand claim these days. And with the emotional attachment, are you not gonna make a plan to have that paid, or are you gonna get covered early and make sure that pet's on cover, and we'll look after the pet from there?
Yeah. I mean, a pet injury can be as much as a bumper bashing.
Yeah.
And we don't think about it that way, you know.
Yeah, true, very true.
Yeah, and the difference is you can buy a new bumper, you can't buy a new pet.
Yeah.
You need to fix him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So just in terms of the brokers, we've spoken a little bit about the brokers coming on board and how they become part of it. My question then to you guys is, why would they do business with PUMA versus any of the other UMAs?
Well, I think, when the broker joins us, it's quite a seamless operation in terms of getting them onboarded and getting the right tools and in their hands to make sure that they're providing the correct amount of advice on what's out there. When I say providing them with the tools and the correct amount of advice, we're not looking at just on our product. We're benchmarking it across what is out there already. So we are giving the broker the tools to actually talk about what is out there versus what they are able to offer. So it comes down to educating the broker correctly, educating them on our internal processes and our technology behind our frameworks in order to get claims done at a certain time frame. It comes down to the education of the broker and helping them drive it forward across the line and walking that road with them.
Yeah, and if I can come in there as well, part of a UMA's responsibilities is to make sure we train on products and we take that responsibility very seriously. Mitch goes out, he trains the brokers write tests on our products so that we can actually be comfortable calling them pet insurance specialist brokers. So our aim is to create more specialist brokers in the market so they are comfortable to have that complicated conversation with a customer. As our products change, we roll out ongoing training to make sure the brokers are always aware of all the changes we make on those products. And we build tools to provide the broker to be able to do quick quotes, comparative quotes. So the tool actually allows the broker to input the pet's breed, age, gender, and the tool delivers a quote, a high-level premium quote to the customer, which is a talking point for the broker to be able to start a conversation around what's the best level of cover, what the customer can afford, and how we should be going forward with that customer.
Yeah, and last point I'll add on that is Mitch puts a lot of work into ongoing training. So, and training is not just sitting staring at a screen and then off you go. It's number one, unpacking what are the benefits of pets insurance, what's the terminology they need to understand, sharing claims examples and sharing, you know, just customer stories on what's out there. And then, as Mitch said, providing them with comparisons of products out in the market, showing them the pros and cons of our products offering versus what else is out there in the market. And then, you know, backed by all the technology in the background to enable that end service delivery to the customer, it's critical in everything that we do. And we work closely with what we call our strategic partners, as this isn't a product out there for everyone. We're also looking for a specific intermediary to facilitate this type of product offering. And it's about working alongside the right guys who see an opportunity in this space, because the market space is huge. I don't think people realize that South Africa, I think the last census we came across was a few years ago, and you've got 9.2 million domestic dogs in South Africa and 2.2 million domestic cats. So in terms of size of market, it's massive. And I think there's still a lot more room for growth. It's the reason why all the other insurers are entering into the market at the rate at which they are, because there's a sizable market out there. There's some good benefits to be provided and lots of policies to be written at the end of the day.
Yeah, so there's good scope for brokers, you know, in tough markets, expand into another lucrative area.
Yeah, and I think brokers have got to ask themselves, why are all the direct insurers going into this space? And to touch on Mitch's point earlier, it's a great entry point to get a customer on board on an emotional sale where you provide real value. And the customer, you know, in turn should say, what else can you do for me? And that's the evolvement of pet insurance, because we're seeing numerous players enter the market. It's exciting. Our job is just to maintain we've been around for the longest, and we just want to provide the best product offering and service offering possible to our brokers and to their clients.
No, absolutely. Brilliant. Thank you, guys.
And if we can share one takeaway to get the brokers comfortable with the service we deliver, Puma is a back-end office, but we make sure that we make our brokers look competent to their customers. In the 12 years we've been around, our complaints mailbox is filled with compliments, thanking us for our service. Our brokers send us compliments to say how easy it is to work with us. And when the broker, and those compliments don't come directly to us, they go to our brokers. Our brokers share them with us. So we create that experience where you don't need to be scared to do pet insurance. We've got your back.
Yeah, 100%.
I think that's probably the most important part of this conversation here, is that, you know, you do the heavy lifting behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the broker has an immediate contact with line of support. Yeah. Should they need anything, if they can't get hold of me, for instance, there's a whole team behind me that would be able to answer any of their questions. And that's very powerful in the broker seat, because, you know, the broker sits and speaking to a client on the phone, trying to sort this client out. Their window for their client's attention and to get something done is very small, and they need to move very quickly. So we geared ourselves up to run as quickly as possible so that we can almost operate at the same speed that your direct insurer would operate at.
And I suppose I'll go on a rant here and add one more thing onto that, because, you know, as much as we support the broker, I also want to touch on technology. We've spoken on the website. We've spoken on like auto approvals and moving to the endpoint. You know, on some of our product lines, we've even gone as far as introducing technology on your phone, which allows the end customer to talk directly to a vet 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And that becomes part of their service offering. And you know, hopefully it enables that wow experience for the customer, because you've got multiple touch points. You can talk to a veterinary professional, you can talk to your intermediary, or you can talk to Puma, where there's a whole set of skills here with veterinaries in-house, et cetera, as well. And it's just trying to create as many touch points and benefits as possible, and ensuring you have access to information when you need it most.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Brilliant. Brilliant. Well done, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think there's one thing that we've missed on.
What?
The international business that we visited.
Oh, yeah. So, Tony, maybe I'm not sure if you'd want to include that, but, you could potentially ask us around our binders. You know, we work with Renasa. Are there any other partners that we're speaking to? And is it just mm-hmm. localized here? Because we've currently got a few cross, you know, cross water opportunities in Namibia and Dubai. Not Namibia and Dubai, yeah. Namibia and Istanbul. And okay. we currently, you know, in chats with quite a few insurers as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me put a question in.
That you only have 2.5 minutes left, I think, before okay. the meeting.
That's okay. Fine. Yeah. Cool. So I think the next question obviously would be, what next? Where to from here? You know, what plans have you got in line? Tell us a little bit about that.
Take over the world.
Yeah, I think, you know, been around since 2012. Our skill sets, it's been around and we've learned a lot over the years. And what that's brought to the table is some fantastic opportunities. We currently just launched a product within Istanbul, which is quite exciting, a completely different market for us, different language. And we've staffed up to accommodate that. We've got some opportunities from our neighbors next door in Namibia as well. And we're finding quite a few insurance partners approaching us at the moment as we have full binder functions and we believe in collaboration. So it's quite amazing how a few years ago this was an unknown product and all of a sudden we're going to hop across and go to different countries and explore different regions. And it just shows you the power of what we're doing and the capabilities of how we get it done.
Absolutely. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, exporting South African wisdom.
Yeah. Not just the vodka.
Yes. Guys, thank you so much. It was great chatting to you. And you've really informed me very well about the pet insurance environment and definitely a fascinating area. So well done to you for making sure that the pets are insured.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's what we love.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.